family or your friends, they owe you nothing.
Yes.
And then people always say, well, I can't sell hair because this person sell hair. Or I can't do this because they do this. And I know that they're doing this. It's okay. What's for you is for you.
Period.
McDonald's could be right across the street from each other. Nobody's complaining.
Right.
You might have 5 churches in the same row. Nobody is complaining.
Literally.
The liquor stores, restaurants. You might have a
car dealerships.
Car dealerships. What's for you is for you.
Period. What's up, guys, and welcome to another episode of It's Giving. I am your host, Sarah Fontenot, and if you have not yet, please make sure to hit that button below, get subscribed so you get to see this content. Go ahead and hit that little bell so you get a notification with everything that we drop, because baby, we are bringing the information for healing. We are having the dynamic conversations that create even better conversations in the home, and if that is for you, then you need to make sure to join this family. Now, today, y'all know I'm always bringing the guests with the stories, the real, the raw, the transparent, the authentic, and I am not going to disappoint you yet again. I just got to give a shout out for my team, because we just do not disappoint ever. Wow. So today we are joined by an incredible woman. She is a powerhouse. She is empowered. She is a mother. She is out here helping other women understand how to make multiple streams of income. She is really out here doing the deal. Please help me give it up for Kiana. What's up, beautiful?
Hi, Sarah.
How do you feel?
Are so beautiful.
Oh my, takes one to know one, by the way.
Oh, wow.
It's an us thing. Thank you. So I have to ask you, if this season in your life were called It's Giving blank and you had to fill in the blank, what would it be called? And you have to say It's Giving.
It's Giving exposure and truth.
Oh, break that down.
Okay. This season is giving exposure and truth, because as a woman, I'm newly back in the world. I'm divorced. Mm-hmm. I went through a vulnerable time in my life.
Yeah.
Whereas though I was in other relationships, getting friendships, allowing people that I wouldn't typically allow around me, being vulnerable, it was giving needy. It was giving me pleasing other people. It was giving me forgetting about myself.
Mm.
So in this season, it's about exposure and truth.
Yes.
And making sure I'm aligning with the correct relationship.
Ooh, that is so powerful. That's literally a life hack. I feel like I can definitely relate in the sense where I either allowed perception or judgments or society or family or friends to put me in a situation that I knew I shouldn't be in. I was almost living almost to make everybody else happy, and I wasn't happy myself. But what a powerful awareness when you're able to say, you know what? No, now is the time for me to live for me. Absolutely. Now is the time for me to claim who I am and become that woman that I want to be. What was the first step in doing that for you?
It was given being selfish to myself.
Yes.
I started to be selfish in my prayers.
Yes.
Selfish in my self-care.
Ooh.
Selfish in my boundaries. It was definitely given selfishness.
Yes.
And I wasn't afraid to be selfish, because when you give so much of yourself to other people, you forget about yourself. So in this season, the first step was to be selfish.
Yes. And I love that so much. Like, you're speaking my language, because literally, like, we live in a world where they almost condemn us, especially us as Black women.
Mm-hmm.
They will condemn us for being selfish. Oh, you're not showing up for your family this way, or you're supposed to be doing that. But you have to pour from overflow.
Absolutely.
And I feel like so many of us are trying to pour from empty.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like, how do you give when you have nothing left to give?
Absolutely.
So you've got to be selfish so you can get full in order to overflow into others.
Absolutely.
What did that look like? When you say selfish with your prayers, what's that mean?
I had to learn that everyone wasn't my assignment.
Ooh. Wait, we got to let that land.
I had to learn everyone was not my assignment.
Yeah.
When you feel like you are the go-to person, I could figure anything out.
Mm-hmm.
You call me today, Key, I got a problem. By the time we hang up, while you telling me the problem, I'm already figuring it out.
Yep.
So I over gave myself to people, but then sometimes that don't align with what God wants you to do.
Yes.
You get in the way of the lesson that he might be trying to teach them.
Yes.
When you think you're trying to fix it. And in actuality, you are hurting the situation.
Yeah.
By enabling people because their natural assignment. Yes. God didn't tell you, go pay this person bill. God didn't tell you, go give this person a $50,000 loan.
Yeah.
You're doing it because you feel like it's guilt.
Mm.
You're successful.
Yeah.
Your friend's not supposed to be like this.
Yeah.
You are up here. So I'm learning that everyone was not my assignment.
Ooh. You know what that's called? That's called survivor's remorse.
Absolutely.
That is called survivor's remorse when it's like when you've made it and no one else really around you has yet, it's put you in a position where it's really challenging to move to that next space. I just, okay, I got to ask you this because I just saw this video on social media. It was Ty Tribbett. Do you know Ty Tribbett, the gospel singer? Uh-huh. Love that man. I don't know that man, but I love his music. Okay. I love his music. But he was talking about how in order for you to take off, mm-hmm. you have to leave where you're at.
Absolutely.
He said, if I were to go walk over there, I have to get off of this couch.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to make a plan for who I'm supposed to be, we have to identify where we are and be willing to leave that behind. Mm-hmm. And I find that most of the times it's very challenging for people, for us to leave our people. How did you do that?
Again, put God first.
Mm.
Don't be afraid of the fear of the unknown.
Ooh.
And you have to be a firm believer that God tell you to move, you have to move.
Yes.
And then you also have to know too that it's somebody already on the other side.
Yes.
So not to sound cliche, have risk always mean have reward.
Yes.
And I feel like you have to move. You can't be in your own headspace. You cannot self-condemn yourself because a lot of the times we don't move because what this person think, what that person going to think. If I do too much, what are they going to think about me?
Mm.
Am I changing? I went through a season of depression when I first started my business many years ago. Everybody was saying, Key, you changing.
Yeah.
But they don't understand the sacrifices that you make to become who you are.
Yes. Growing things change.
It changed.
You have to change.
For sure.
Ooh, I didn't know we were just going to kick it off preaching, okay? I didn't know. I wasn't ready, but I love it. I love it. I love it. So all of this, how old is your son?
My son is 7.
And are you married?
I am divorced.
Okay. Oh, you newly, did say?
Yeah, newly divorced.
How long has it been since you were divorced?
Few months.
Oh, it's like fresh.
So we had to do limited divorce first.
Yeah.
The absolute. And that was a tough time because it was like divorcing at one time. This was somebody that was my best friend.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
So that was tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
I see the, don't cry. If you cry, I just want you to know I will cry. Okay.
No, don't cry.
No, we can both cry. Okay. It is what it is.
I don't think I'm going to cry today. Not today. I'm so emotional.
Yeah.
Cancer in me.
Me too. I'm a cancer too.
When your birthday?
July 2nd.
Oh, I'm June 25th.
Okay. I love that.
Yes. So, you know, we cry babies. But we
yes,
tough.
Literally.
We tough.
I will cry and cut you at the same time.
And then once somebody do too much, we could walk past them in the grocery store like we never
knew. Never knew. What's your name? I don't know that person.
I don't have a run back home. Do you?
A what?
A run back home.
No.
Somebody come out your life.
It's over.
Because we take some stuff.
Yeah.
But I feel like once we done, we done.
Done. It's funny. It's so funny when people are like, oh, this person, do you ever let somebody spin the block for what?
Yeah, I don't do that.
This block is burnt down. It's gone.
The bridges.
It's over. Right. I don't know. That's friendships, relationships, you know, all of the things. Okay, so newly divorced. How has that, like, because when you're divorced and that's your best friend, that's grief.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I think that people only associate grief to death.
Absolutely.
As in a life ending, but it's death of something that you thought you would have forever, right? So mm-hmm. if you thought that you were going to be married to this man forever, how long were you guys married?
8 years.
Oh, how long were you together?
10.
Dang. And you're young.
I'm young. And he was older than me too.
Oh my gosh. So you've spent the last 10 years of your life with this man. You guys had a beautiful baby.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what is it like? Who are you claiming yourself to be now? What does that look like?
I'm claiming myself as Kiana Morant. I kept my last name. Y'all.
Okay.
Don't judge me.
Okay.
I wanted to keep my son's last name, but I had to learn to forgive. I had to learn to forgive myself.
Yes.
A fun fact nobody will probably ever know. I cried every day for 2 years straight.
Wow.
And showed up for myself, for my businesses. And it's hard. It is hard when you have people depending on you. So, yeah. In this season, I learned to forgive myself first.
Yeah.
So that's who I'm showing up. I'm showing up as myself.
Yes. And it's so beautiful. How do you even get to a space? Because you help so many women that are mothers out here understand that they can make multiple streams of income and still be a dope mom and still be a present mom. Like, how did you fight to even become this woman that we see today?
It started as a child.
Mm.
We didn't have the best growing up. So always in the back of my mind, I knew what I wasn't going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that gave me opportunity or what I could become.
Mm.
Mm. So I knew I didn't want to live in a cramped up apartment if I have a big family, 16 kids. I enjoyed it. Like, I loved my cousins, but it wasn't normal. Mm. 10 of us in one bedroom. That wasn't normal. We used to make games out of the situation, tic-tac-toe, tents, put the blanket over the AC to act like we going camping. But I enjoyed it, but I knew that's not what I wanted my life to look like.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. I go ahead.
But it also made me who I am.
Yes.
And made we had to be strong.
Yes.
The women that we came from, they were strong women.
Yes.
They were strong women.
That's beautiful. It's funny because I remember growing up, I have 7 brothers and sisters.
Okay.
And we grew up in a small house. My parents still live in the house that we grew up
wow.
in. And, you know, humble beginnings. I don't come from privilege, but I definitely come from love. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember putting the sheets to do the forts and all of the things in the house. And I remember my sister, we had to share a bed. My sister Lauren, thanks Lauren, she made me sleep under the bed. She was like, but you peed the bed till you were 11. And I did. Okay. It's true. I'm not proud of it, but hey, it is what it is, it is, you know? So I feel like those moments have really taught me tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Those moments have taught me loyalty. Those moments have taught me how to fight and keep going.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Absolutely. And really understand like who is for you is for you. So have you ever experienced being inside of business, a successful businesswoman that you are, that's maybe you put somebody in your tribe that didn't belong there? Or is this a new awareness for you?
I feel like in business, you always want to have trial and error.
Facts.
It's not a business out there where you're not going to have to move some pieces on a board.
Period.
And I do want to cancel out that false narrative that the first time you're going to get it right, the second time you're going to get it right, the third time you're going to get it right. That is not true.
Mm-mm.
It's not true. So, of course, you always have to move some pieces around, but you have to be smart enough to know when it's time to move Ooh. Them pieces around. As an entrepreneur, you have to learn to make tough decisions.
Yeah.
And I sometimes feel like even with survivor's remorse or being a woman, you don't want to disappoint no one.
Mm.
But you have to learn to make those tough decisions.
Yes.
And I'm still making tough decisions.
Yes.
And it's okay. And you allow people to know that we are here together, but this just not a part of your journey.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
And that's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
I had to learn, you know, it's funny. We've done a lot of episodes on the podcast where we talk about friendships and friendships breakups. And I feel like friendship breakups, business breakups sometimes are harder than romantic relationship Absolutely. Breakups. It's literally like, oh God, I don't even know. Because sometimes we are way more intimate, and not in a sexual way, but just in a real way. We're way more intimate with the people that we work with.
Mm-hmm.
We're way more intimate with our girlfriends than we ever have been with our partner. Have you ever experienced like business breakups or girlfriend breakups?
For sure.
Uh-huh. How'd you deal with it?
How did I deal with it? You have to be authentic.
Yes.
And it's okay that it don't work. Everybody cannot go.
Yes.
You have to understand everybody cannot go. When you meet new people, best believe that God is sending you into a new season.
Yes.
So it's uncomfortable for sure. I don't try to, okay, the business relationship didn't work. That don't mean we can't be friends.
Mm. What if the friendship doesn't work?
If the friendship don't work, it don't work.
That's it.
Stop forcing it. It don't work. If the friendship do not work, stop forcing it.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes as a woman, we feel like we need 10 people, 10 friends, 5 friends. I love that my phone don't ring every single day.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yes.
But the people that love me and they love hard on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I make sure that I'm only aligning myself with the people that love hard on me.
Yes. Yes. That's challenging too, though. I feel like someone might love you super hard one day and then switch it and not love you the next. And it may have nothing to do with you and everything to do with them. And that's the most challenging part. I feel like I've had experiences where, you know, I want answers to certain questions or I want to understand, and then to let go and just be like, you know what, God, this is not for me, you know, mm-hmm. and that hurts my heart and I don't understand it, but I guess, you know, it's not for my understanding.
Absolutely. And it's not something you can figure out overnight because, mm-hmm. listen, if we've been friends for 10 years and then tomorrow you wake up and do something
crazy,
like, oh my God, why would you do that?
Yeah.
I would have never done that to you.
Never.
But what I've learned too, and it takes time,
mm-hmm.
you cannot convince people what you wouldn't have never done to them.
Mm.
You have, and I literally just said this to somebody last night. Literally last night, an uncomfortable conversation. I said, I cannot expect me from you.
Ooh.
I said, there's 8 billion people in the world and the disconnect is I cannot accept me from you.
Yeah.
Right? So they said, we should have had a conversation. I said, it's okay. I'm not mad. I still love you, but I can't hurt myself trying to convince you
right.
why I don't like what you did.
Right. Yes.
And I feel like as a woman, by the time we spend that 2 times the energy explaining to that person or whoever the person is, what you did, these are my feelings. We could have been on to something else.
Could have. Could have. I also think that it depends on the level of understanding that someone else would have. Like, you know, like sometimes, and I think this is what I'm trying to say. It is so important to know when you are authentic mm-hmm. and you know you're come from and you know your heart, it's so important to be surrounded by other people that know you're come from and absolutely. Know your heart. And when absolutely. I say come from, what I'm saying is where what you say comes from, the actions that you take, where does that come from? If you know that it's always rooted in love, mm-hmm. when if you know that it's rooted in accountability, in integrity, in, you know, being human, so you're not perfect, but if you know that that's the come from, absolutely. Then why would you, you know, put someone in a position to where that has to be even questioned, you know? And I feel like that's been my beautiful lesson in this life as far as relationships, romantic or platonic go. You should never question my come from.
Absolutely.
I don't have a malicious bone in my body. It don't exist.
Absolutely.
You know, now, am I human? Do I make mistakes? Absolutely. But maliciousness or intentionally trying to hurt someone, it's a no for me. But what I will say is oftentimes I can feel misunderstood in business, in life, in all of the things. Have you ever felt like, you know, you're a successful woman, you are showing other women how to do the things, you're a mother, you're empowered, you walked away, you're crying, you keep going, you've got all of these things that are really beautiful traits, but a lot of the times because people don't want accountability, it's not relatable.
Absolutely.
So do you ever feel like the lone wolf, and how do you get around that?
Like I said, so you said the one thing, if you're not doing something out of spite or you're not doing nothing malicious to anyone and you know where you're coming from is a good place,
mm-hmm.
I leave it at the door.
Period.
And it wasn't always a technique of mine, but where I am today, I leave it at the door.
Mm.
And I do, it gets alone. You get lonely sometimes.
Yeah, of course.
You get lonely sometimes, but it's human. Okay.
It's human.
Yeah.
I feel like the more that we can just allow ourselves to be the human beings that we are, not the human doings, you know, what we do is great, but who we be is better. And when you love that person, I feel like life really starts to take off for you in a way that is free. Like it's freedom inside of me not having to do things because other people want me to.
Absolutely.
It's freedom for you to get to move and shake the way that you move and shake because you desire to, not because you have to, right? Even like as far as money goes, that's why I have this conversation. I'm sure you have mm-hmm. it too with women. Like the money that you make shouldn't make us hard. It's not saying, oh, let's go be masculine. We don't need no man. No, it's not saying any of that. It's saying there is a necessity. Bills need to be paid, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And also, you get to operate from want versus need.
Absolutely.
In every way. Mm-hmm. I want to live in this kind of business, mm-hmm, or building. I want to drive this kind of, mm-hmm, car. I want to be around these kinds of people. I want to have this kind of man, you know, it, or woman or whatever, whoever is listening out there. It gives you options. So they always say money doesn't buy you happiness, but it buys you choices.
And comfort.
And comfort.
And comfort.
And it's necessary.
And when I learned that money do not buy you happiness, mm, is when I was going through my divorce. Ooh. Because if money was everything, if money could have fixed the problem, strip me broke.
Right.
Strip me broke. You can have it all.
Yeah.
You can have it all. But money definitely, it brings you comfort. Mm. But it does not bring you happiness. Mm-mm. It does not bring you peace. Mm-mm. It does not bring you understanding. Mm-mm. It's a reward. And like I said, it brings you comfort. Mm-hmm. If you want to wake up tomorrow and say, because I did it, 3:00 in the morning, I can't sleep because I'm going through my divorce. I booked the flight. Mm-hmm. I got up, packed a little bag, and I left. Mm-hmm. So it brought me comfort, temporary comfort. Mm-hmm. But it didn't bring me happiness.
Yeah.
It did not bring me peace. So I like to tell anybody in your entrepreneurial journey, mm-hmm, money is the reward of it. Mm. But doing it and showing up for yourself, that's the true blessing.
Ooh.
But nah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-mm. I had to learn that too. And I used to have a chip on my shoulder too, because I was like, you know, I've been discredited my whole life. People take one look at me and they think they've got me red up and down, but I'm peculiar, unique, as my mother would say. Thank you, Mom. But it's so funny because I always felt like I had to prove, mm-hmm, you know what I mean? I had to achieve. I had to show you every accolade. And I finally, now I'm at a place of, this is me. Good, bad, right or wrong, rich, broke. It don't matter. I'm still going to be me. If I lost it all tomorrow, I will get it back. You know, like if it doesn't define who I am. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the issue, where you don't really have to have good character when you make money in this society.
No.
You don't really have to have good character when you're good at doing something in this society. It's the blanket for how you get away with bad behavior, because people think that because you have money or because you have achievements or accolades, that gives you some kind of up on them. And that's just not the truth. In society it is, but it's not the truth for your soul.
For your soul. But I feel like good character, ugh, gets you in rooms and places.
Money cannot.
They cannot. Because I've been placed in rooms and received opportunity, mm-hmm, because of who I am.
Ooh, say that. Ooh, yeah, say
because
that.
Because of who I am.
Yes.
It don't come easy. Mm-mm. But because if you show up as yourself, I'm this bubbly person, my personality, and I'm truthful.
Yes.
I'm authentic.
Yes.
And people like that.
Yes.
Because I've been in places that my credentials didn't land me there. Mm-hmm. Because who I am as a person, it spoke for who I was and gave me the qualifications. But no. Mm-mm. No. You gotta, your character is big. And I agree with you though, because a lot of people, they get to take the easy way out because they are a good creator. They, yep, get to sell these things, yep, because they came up with something on the internet. But if you don't have good character, it's not going to go long.
It's only a matter of time.
It's almost like a bad day in a casino.
Ooh, one bad day.
That's it.
Could wipe you broke.
Absolutely.
Sheesh.
Absolutely.
Golly. Okay, so I have to ask you, because I'm over here just like thinking, are you dating?
I am.
Okay. Okay. How has that been now after divorce?
Oh, it's me.
What does that mean?
It's dating after divorce will have you questioning yourself a lot. Mm. And then when I have a 7-year-old, you want to make sure that you're putting the right person around them, mm-hmm, if you want to introduce them, mm, to them. So, and I'm in my head a lot. I don't know if you can relate as a Cancer. Yeah. We overthinkers. We try to figure out
everything.
Like, even now, I'm like, all right, A is this, showing up, B is this. We want to figure it all out.
Yeah.
But dating after divorce, you need that glow. And I feel like my therapist one time told me, Kiana, do not be afraid of emotional connection.
Yes.
And love and money go together.
Yes.
So I'm into partnership. I know I'll get married again.
Yes.
I love love.
Yes.
I love love.
Yes.
Most people out of divorce, and I ain't doing it again. Because when I was going through it, never again. But now, no, I love love. I want to walk down the aisle. I want to have the good wedding, a good reception. But I be in my own head.
Yeah.
I be in my own head.
I feel like I've never related to anything more on this show than saying we overthink everything.
We overthink everything.
We overthink. Oh, my team. And they know it. I used to call myself neurotic, but I have to stop saying that word because I realize that there's three parts to neuroticism: the depressive state, the anxious state, and the OCD state. And I was thinking like OCD. I don't really relate as much to depression or anxiety, but I'm definitely very particular and meticulous. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I know that it's annoying, but it's very beneficial for work.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, it's very beneficial for building or creating, or we get stuff done. And because we see everything, we foresee the most problems that are going to come.
Absolutely.
Now, that happens in dating too.
It do.
It's like a man shows you something and it's like, oh, that was a lie.
And then, absolutely. And they don't have to say much because you're like, oh, okay.
And you just nod like, you ain't got to lie to kick it.
And then we try to do it all.
Yeah.
I know. Even like today when he's like, do this, bring it down a little bit. We want to be in control of the whole thing. So, yeah, I get it. With dating, that's my downfall. Just letting a man be a man. And then I'm also from the, I like when people show me, you know?
Yes.
Kiana. Because if not, I'm going to have everything planned from A to Z.
Yeah.
And then I'm also tell you, I don't like that I had to plan everything from A to Z.
Right. That's true.
And I'm like, I don't like that. I had to plan it. I had to do this. But then also, if you try to plan it, what's the time? Where we going?
Yeah.
What we doing?
Yeah. It's like that, like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. But you know what? I will say one of the things that I've started doing in relationship is I plant seeds. So even like from the beginning, like when I first start dating someone, one of the things that I do, because it's very important to me. It's funny. I saw Trill AC. Shout out to Anthony. Shout out to you, sir, from Crew Season. He was saying how women really teach men how to finesse them, right?
For sure.
But you're only being finessed if it's not a good man. A good man that has good intentions for you will take what you say. And obviously, if he's willing to compromise and change those things, it's with good reason because he's trying to see how you fit into his life.
Absolutely.
Where are you guys compatible? So one of the things that I definitely do inside of relationship is I say, don't ever lie to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
If you start lying.
That's it.
Oh, it's literally like shattering to my soul. Mm-hmm, like I cannot possibly rock with you. And then the first time that it happens, what happens is my ears go up like a dog, you know, and the ears are like, boop, the ears just go up. And then it turns into now I'm looking. Now I'm seeking. Where are you? And I do this romantically, platonically, I want to know where, because this don't make any sense anymore.
Absolutely.
You ain't got to lie to kick it. So I plant seeds on what is important to me. Like I'll always say, you know what? I know in this day and age, a lot of women will say something and not mean it. And I want you to know, I mean it when I say that honesty, transparency, and openness are very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Very important to me. And even if it hurts, I would rather you tell me the truth. Just so you ain't got to lie to kick it, Craig. You know what I mean? Like, you ain't got to lie.
And allow me to choose my hurt.
Yes. You know what I mean? Because we're grown.
I figure it out with for me. Right.
Girl, we too grown for you to try to control how I'm going to feel from something.
Exactly.
Because you don't know how I'm going to feel. I might just be like, oh, okay. Sometimes I just ask random questions and I don't really even care. Like, it'll be a crazy question too. And I don't even really care what the answer is. I just want to know, do you feel comfortable to tell me the truth? And if you do, it's like, oh, I trust him more because he's being himself. I don't trust people that struggle to be themselves.
Or put on a facade.
Yeah, can't do it.
And then when I first started dating, one of my businesses is a child care center. So when I first started dating, I was like, oh, I work with kids, whatever. And then if a man figured out what they do, they was just overly trying to impress me.
Yeah.
Oh, I got this. I got the Lambo. I got the big house. Oh, let me take you. But I read through that because most people that are successful and financially stable, they're not talking money.
They don't lead with that.
They don't lead
don't
with it.
Don't lead with
and
it.
And then, honestly, you're scaring me because we're at a bar and you're telling me all that you have. That just let me know you cannot protect me.
Oh.
Because someone could overhear this conversation, follow us outside of this bar, mm-hmm. follow us home,
mm-hmm.
and now we in a whole nother situation.
Yep.
Because you, 9 times out of 10, is probably lying.
And also, who cares?
And who cares? Because I want you for you.
Right.
Because when all of that's, when you old and can't drive the Lambo, I still got to love you.
And you know what? Lambos are way too close to the ground for me, honestly.
And I'm
depending on what I have, whatever I have on, it's just too, I got to like sit. And if I'm wearing a short, it just, you know.
But you hear it all. You hear it all.
It's facts.
You hear it all.
It's factual.
For sure.
I it's just, it's a strange world that we live in today.
I'm glad to.
Girl.
They be lying.
Look, Kenny, is this thing on? Can you hear me? You can hear me okay? Men, I know I'm usually talking to the ladies. Men, y'all gotta stop lying for no reason. Now look, I know that women made you feel a way because you told them the truth and then they acted out. You've got to do a better job of discerning the women that you choose in order to be honest with those women, because I'm telling you, it is just ruining really good things. Men ain't got to lie to kick it.
But I also feel like, because I like to play devil's advocate.
Okay, come on. I like this. Feel, come on, Kiana.
I do feel like women force men
to lie.
To lie.
That's what I'm saying. You can't, don't choose those women.
Yeah.
Don't choose the women that are sensitive. And well, we're all sensitive.
Yeah.
But don't choose the women that are going to get upset about the truth.
Exactly. Because you could be the manager at Chick-fil-A, but only doing that job because you want to own the franchise. But a woman, you tell them, I'm the manager at Chick-fil-A,
mm-hmm.
and you already making 6 or 7 figures. Mm-hmm. You're like, I don't want that.
Could you date a man that is the manager at Chick-fil-A?
I could.
You could for real?
I really could.
Kiana.
I promise you I could. Because I feel like us as Black women, we can build what we want.
I mean, this is
and
very
they
true.
Got the mindset.
That's
they
got
to have the mindset.
Okay.
Because you could also date the CEO at the Fortune 500 company that's down low.
Yeah.
Right? That's abusive. Oh
my God.
So I don't, as long as you know where you're going and what your goals are.
Yeah, you got to be aligned.
I came from nothing.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm not going to judge you because you're still trying to figure it out. And a lot of times with us Black men, they don't have the exposure or somebody to breathe that life into them.
Truth.
So the seed is already there. So they just need that good woman to come in and plant it. So they have to want it. So I'm not into titles and what you have because they say a man, if they have a woman behind their business, they are successful.
Period.
Because we the ones with the water,
period.
Right?
We see everything.
We nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
We breathing life.
Yes. And then I think also a man having a woman behind him, that's just solid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not the woman that's looking for the bigger, better deal that's going to leave you because this person has the newer car or more money or the newer shoes or whatever it could possibly be, because there are those women. But it's sad to me that I feel like a lot of men almost surrender the life they could have because they're out here chasing something that really don't even want them back sometimes.
They are dating their preference and not their priority. And women, we do the same thing.
Oh, we preaching today.
Yeah.
We is preaching
they
today.
They are dating their preference and not their priority. Because
ooh.
Your preference is not going to be the one to take care of you when you need to, help you figure something out, help you get that credit score.
Okay, wait. We gotta. How do you be the preference and the priority? I feel like we preferences and priorities.
So
we
listen,
both.
No.
I'm a preference and a priority.
Okay.
I'm a speaking. Right. I can't accept.
So
not.
What's your preference? So let's say what's your preference?
Mine for in my man?
Yeah.
Safety, security, respect, emotional intelligence, emotional regulation, openness, and honesty.
But I feel like that all aligns with priority.
And preference.
To me is,
I don't have a preference for a man. You could be big, you could be small,
right,
you could be dark, you could be light, black.
Like that aligns
but
with
light,
more
light.
So priority. You dating for priority.
I don't date.
Sometimes people date because you got to be 6'5", or you got to be muscular.
Nah.
You got to have a big bank account.
Nah.
But
I
you're
mean,
not dating for your safety, your security, the open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you're dating for priority over preference.
Yeah, I don't have like a type.
Mm-hmm.
None of my exes look the
and
same.
That's good.
None of them look the same.
Yeah.
They're all except for one are Black. But that's about as much same as they get.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and you doing it right.
I'm doing my best.
And I want to encourage any woman out there, date your priority over your preference.
Yes.
The man with the dreads might not be for you, ooh, sis.
That used to be.
They might not be the role model that you need.
Yeah.
So date your priority for sure.
Yes.
For sure.
That's a bar.
Yeah.
You just dropped major bars. Come on, Kiana.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, so you said that you have a daycare. How many businesses do you have?
Hey, did I lose count? No, I'm like, I have 2 childcare centers. I have a driving school. I have a restaurant that is newly opened. I'm a landlord. I do real estate.
Everything.
Yeah, I was actually just prepping a list of property before I came in here. what else I do? I'm opening up a lounge that I'm partnering on. I'm trying to write this book.
Is it trademarked already?
Not yet.
Okay, so we ain't gonna say the name.
Yeah, yeah. But it's coming.
What's it about?
It's about getting to the money.
Okay.
It's about getting to the money. It's about self-critiquing ourselves and do it. Because a lot of the times people just do not take the chance.
Yeah.
Pastor Reverend Tony Lee, our name drop, one day he said, just do it. God already has people on the other side.
Period.
And it might not be a good girlfriend that's going to be the one that supports you.
Mm-mm. Probably not, to be honest.
Or your family or your friends, they owe you nothing.
Yes.
And then people always say, well, I can't sell hair because this person sell hair. Or I can't do this because they do this and I know that they're doing this. It's okay. What's for you is for you.
Period.
McDonald's could be right across the street from each other. Nobody's complaining.
Right.
You might have 5 churches in the same row. Nobody is complaining.
Literally.
The liquor stores, restaurants. You might have a
car dealerships.
Car dealerships. What's for you is for you.
Period. Period.
And I'm not a gatekeeper.
Me either.
I'm not a gatekeeper. If I could tell you what it is so you don't have to take the butt whoopings that
yeah.
I took, I'm going to let you know.
How did you even get to a space? Because being a single mom, how did you get to a space where you even have time to do all of that?
So that was new. So that was new for me, just to be completely transparent. My son father is a great father.
Mm.
He's a great...
Shout out to the good dads out there.
Yeah, he's a great father. I won't discredit him for that. But honestly, when we did the separation, it was more truth to me because I didn't know how much he played a role. Because I was able to work from 6 in the morning to 7 at night grinding. But he was at home with his father. Or some days he was with me. But it's challenging. Because it's plenty of nights I'm crying. And I'm like, Dad. So just recently, my son, his name Karan, I said, Dad, Karan, he with me at 9:30 at night. And he had to go to school in the morning.
Mm.
And it made me feel bad as a mom. But I also said, you know what? I'm doing this for him.
Mm-hmm.
But he might not understand that. But he working with me from 7 to 9:30 at night because I'm finalizing a restaurant. We got to finalize menus. And in business, sometimes you don't get to choose the time.
Right.
So although you a boss, it's still things that you don't get to choose.
Yeah. Do you ever feel like you have to sacrifice experiences that you could have with him for what you're building for him?
No. I make it intentional. Family is intentional. When I travel, he travel. You wake up tomorrow, mommy, I want to go here. He's going.
Yeah.
So we get those experiences in. We got to go home and read 15 minutes a day. I make it intentional. I don't care what it is because my son always going to be there. Business and all of this stuff could be gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I make it intentional. So even if I have him out at 9:15 p.m., what we doing? I'm like, y'all give me 15 minutes and I just solely... 15 minutes to him, 30 minutes to him.
Yeah.
You have to make it intentional. You cannot forget about what's important as a mother.
Yes.
So that's the true sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Because time, again, money don't replace time.
Mm-mm. At all.
He could get what he want all day long, but what he's going to remember is my mommy had time.
Yeah.
And we go to mommy son trips all the time, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But that's our time. No.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And because I feel like there's a lot of parents out there that will wrong or shame other parents for not being there with their kids, but they are never actually present with their kids. Like you're in the same space, but you're not present. The kid is playing video games, or, and you know, you're talking on the phone to whoever, or you're cooking dinner, or you're, so I don't think there's a right or wrong way to do anything, but it is frustrating when I see parents, you know, guilt or shame another parent because, well, you didn't pick him up from school, or you didn't, like, it's wild to me. Do you ever feel like you struggle being an entrepreneur because we don't have hours? We have, you know, it's kind of just is what it is. Do you ever feel like you are challenged with the status quo of what parenthood is?
For sure. And I'll say it again, you have to choose your heart.
Break that down.
Because you, and this is all just natural to me, but you have to choose your heart. It's going to be hard working a 9-to-5 and can't make ends meet.
Period.
And I love 9-to-5 jobs, 9-to-5 people. Don't get me wrong, but either way, you have to choose your heart.
Yeah.
Because working a 9-to-5, and if you have a 2-hour commute to work, a 2-hour commute after work, how many hours that? That's the same 12 hours I just worked in my business.
Yeah.
And as a childcare provider, I see it every single day. Mm. We are with your children more than you are. So,
you know, my sister, shout out to Lauren. There was a time where her husband now, they were together. They broke up for 5 years. They got back together. They got married, had another baby. So they have a really beautiful, wild story. And inside of the story, when she was single for those 5 years, being a single mom, she had her son. And I get emotional when I talk about my family. So if I cry, I'm sorry. but she talks about how she had a morning shift, a night shift and a swing shift, or maybe it's a morning shift, a swing shift and a night shift. And, that inside of that time, her and her best friend lived together. And she's like, I'm so grateful that I had my best friend. She said, what kind of American dream is this? Wow. I freaking go to work for 40 hours a week. Plus, I don't get to see my kid. I pay for a house. She said, I pay for daycare so they can raise my kid. I never get to see him. I pay for a house that I never get to be inside of. And she was like, I'm literally just always behind, you know, I'm always behind. And shout out to her, because that's totally not the situation anymore. More, but you know, being a single mom is hard.
It is.
It's really hard. And then I feel like there are so many stigmas that are placed on single mothers also. Do you feel like, as far as dating goes, that that's played a role for you? And is it frustrating or is it beautiful?
Shout out to all the single moms out there. I celebrate you, because it's hard being a mother. It's hard being a mother that have to work. It's hard being someone that have to not only show up for yourself, but for other people. So shout out to you, and you deserve to be celebrated. Because my mom was a single mom. So I didn't know what it looked like until I was late in age, what a husband and wife was, you know. But it's challenging for sure. Because I might can't go on a date with you because I have my son. Valentine's Day, what you doing? I got my son. And when you already making sacrifices, ultimately, your dating life want to be put on hold anyway.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. That's challenging.
It is challenging. It's definitely challenging. But I just, as a woman, I feel like we got to figure it out before we invite people into that space anyway.
That's good. Yeah. Figure it out for yourself. And then
be transparent, because even sometimes men can be even, I've never been put in a situation like that, but sometimes men can be jealous of your children.
Oh. Break that down.
Like, for sure. Like, I want your time, or I need this from you, but you like, Johnny gotta go to the soccer. Johnny gotta go to tutoring. Johnny need me to cook dinner. But why you can't cook for me? You always put your son, you know, you always put this person before me. Like, women have to deal with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then sometimes as a woman, we can be so pressed for companionship.
Ooh, you preaching.
That we ultimately make our kids the sacrifice for somebody that's ultimately not even worth it. And early on, when I first started dating, not saying that the person was worth it or not worth it or whatever the case may be, but I found myself, because I was in a vulnerable state, I found myself, Mom, can you get Corona today? Because I like this new person that I was becoming. Like, I got married young. So I wasn't used to dressing up, somebody putting a glow. It was fresh. So I was, it was almost like, are we going out? We can't drink?
Right.
You wanna spend a night?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can't meet my son, you know?
Yeah.
So I felt myself, because I wanted it. I just got out of something bad, and I wanted to know what it felt like to be held and to have somebody to, you know, love me or whatever
the case may be. Take you out, love on you. Yes.
Exactly. So I felt myself doing it too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mom, can you watch Quran? You going to auntie house, you know, even though it wasn't often, but I felt myself doing it.
Right. That's a powerful awareness. But where do you draw the line?
Oh, you see it. I feel like you have to have accountability for yourself. Nobody has to tell you that. You understand what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because it's something I believe that God gives everyone. It's going to tug on your inside.
Yeah.
And it tugged on me. I'm like, oh, no, I can't do that. I can't go. It was cute. You know.
Yes.
I had fun, but now the fun is over. Reality is here.
Yes. I feel like we live in a very divisive society. And what I mean by that is, I was having a conversation with one of my best girlfriends, mm-hmm. and we were talking about marriage and children. Mm-hmm. And I'm 35 and okay. I have no kids.
Okay.
And I've been engaged twice, but I've never made it down the aisle. Okay. Right. And inside of that, we were talking about relationships. And I said, I pretty much was saying how people are quick to quit on relationships, but they don't quit on their kids, and I don't understand. And my friend had said, you know, well, you know, it's easy to get a divorce. You can, but your kids are forever. And I said, I feel as though that's the mindset that has ruined society mm-hmm. and relationships mm-hmm. because it's so easy to quit. I don't like you anymore. Irreconcilable differences. No, well, what if there was a law? What if there was a law that said, no, you've got to figure it out. What would it look like? No, you've got to you've got it. And then I saw this beautiful post by a man on a podcast, actually, and he's been married for 30 plus years. Absolutely is happy inside of his marriage. And he said weekly, him and his wife, they go on dates, mm-hmm. and on this date, they have conversations about something they didn't like. Something that was said. It's like a checkpoint. Mm-hmm. What can we do better? How do we get better? Is there anything that I did that offended you? Is there anything I could do better to show up more powerfully as your husband, and vice versa? And so inside of having those conversations, they never get to a point where resentment is built up enough, where the communication is broken down so much to where it's like, oh, forget it. I don't even want to try anymore. Mm-hmm. What if that was the alter? And that's why I feel like I'm not married. We're single till we're married, right? On mm-hmm, paper, mm-hmm. I'm single because mm-hmm. I'm not married. And I think that that is one of my deepest fears, if I'm honest. I'm afraid to choose a person that's a quitter.
You want a fighter and not a flighter.
Yes. I want a person that's going to say, I love you more than this problem. I want a person that's going to be committed to our mission, right? Mm-hmm. Submission. When we submit to mm-hmm. our person, we're really submitting to the mission mm-hmm. of what mm-hmm. God has put for both of us.
Absolutely.
Right? And so if I trust myself enough, if I trust the God in me enough to trust the God in you enough, mm-hmm. then it's easy to submit. And so it just got me thinking about how when you listen and like so much, and there's nothing wrong with divorce. Let me be clear. I don't think there's, if it's time to go, it's time to go. But I do feel like no one teaches men or women how to be husbands or wives. And for the most part, it's trial and error, but so is parenthood. So why is it that we won't quit on our kids, but we'll quit on our partner?
I feel like we won't quit on our kids because that's something that we created, we birthed, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when it comes to, because I've been on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to, that's why I stayed as long as I did, because with me growing up, like now I'm getting emotional, the way that I did, I wanted my marriage more than anything, right? And I knew I ain't want to give this up. And I stayed longer than I should. And sometimes I felt like I stayed. If I would have made my decision to leave a lot sooner, I probably would have still been married. Because sometimes we accept things that we know we shouldn't accept.
Yeah.
And we stay, and I'm fighting, but it takes two people to fight.
Yeah.
And it has to be two willing people.
Yeah.
In a contract, you have two people.
Yeah.
But it has to be two people willing to fight.
Yes.
And I feel like people don't give up on their kids because that's something you birth. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But also, people have to understand, too, your kids gonna get old.
And leave
you. They're going to leave you.
Yes.
So you got to find out what's important, but for the right person.
Yes.
And then what I also understand is, too, you do not, don't blame yourself because the right person, you're not going to have to question it.
Right.
If they're going to fight for me, if it's worth it. And I suffer from abandonment issues. Mm. Like, I don't want you to leave me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to leave. I don't want it to be over. And then also, arrogance too. It's not over till I say it's over.
Right. Yeah.
But I do feel like even when you're finding your person, it takes two people to fight.
Yes.
You cannot be in the ring by yourself.
Yes.
So I honestly feel like if it was two willing and able people to fight,
yeah,
quitting wouldn't even
be an option.
It wouldn't be an option at all.
I feel like that's my parents.
Yeah. Quitting is not an option.
Yeah.
It wouldn't even be a spoken word. Early on in my marriage, someone told me, Kiana, you never, and I never did that. Kiana, you never use your ring as a weapon.
Mm.
And what they mean by that, some people would take the ring off.
Yeah.
Oh, this, do that. So I never did it. But when I was done, I took that ring off because I knew this is it.
Yeah.
It's not that I didn't want to fight for it. It's not that I didn't want it. It just took two people to fight.
Yeah.
Contrary to that, when he was ready to fight, I was already checked out.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. If there were pinpoints along the way, if there were touch points along the way to lower the offense, to lower the defense, to really, because, so there's this theory, it's called the Gottman theory.
Okay.
And it talks about how if you see these four things called the four horsemen inside of any relationship, it is guaranteed to end up to 98%.
Wow.
Gottman followed this couples for decades, like literally 30-year tests, 15-year tests, 7-year tests. Test, 5-year test, 3-year test. And so inside of this theory, he says, if you see criticism, defensiveness, contentment, and stonewalling, all four of them, you're guaranteed to see them break up. Now, you might have one or two, but that's something that needs to be addressed inside of the relationship. Stonewalling, when we shut down. I learned in one of my relationships, this beautiful speaking, you know, global international speaker, Sarah, I stopped speaking because I didn't feel heard, because there was so much defensiveness and criticism that I was experiencing. I shut down, right? It's like, I don't, damned if I do, damned if I don't, why am I talking to you anyway? You don't hear anything. You just flip it and turn it back around on me anyway. So I don't want to talk to you. And what's wild is, you know, when that had happened in a relationship, I was in they say that stonewalling usually shows up around year two in a relationship. Mm. I was 5 months into a relationship and stonewalling. So that's how much, you know, and I'm very aware. I'm very aware of self. And I tried to change the way that I would talk and all of these different things. And it just was not working, right? And so obviously that relationship ended shortly after. But it's like, what if we just sat down and spoke about it each week? Where, you know what, Kiana, I feel like you're a little defensive if that's the thing, I feel like when I try to give you feedback, you're a little defensive towards me. And I don't want to feel like I'm getting to a place where I'm shutting down, but I really want to feel heard. Is it possible for you to hear me when I speak? Maybe even tell me what you heard me say.
Mm-hmm.
Now we move forward. Okay, great. We know that we're communicating for the greater good of the colony.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know, but relationships, they are hard. And I think, go ahead.
I feel like you did a great job when you were able to leave after 5 months knowing, listen, I'm shutting down. You already know that it's not working. I feel like it's important to be able, as a woman, to identify. Because sometimes, like, we stand because Shantae got a man at home, you know?
Mm-hmm.
and we already know it's not working, mm-hmm. we would still say yes to the proposal and know that it's not working.
I did twice.
We would still walk down the aisle.
Yeah.
And say, I do, when we know that it's not working. So yeah. being able to identify these triggers early on would make us better as women.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We already know, like, maybe you are great. You are a great person. You're just not that person for me.
Yes.
And as a woman, we might not be the person for
you. Yes.
So I feel like being able to identify the triggers early on, whether you're a man or a woman,
mm-hmm.
you know what it is.
Yes.
You're in something that is toxic. You don't want to go home. Mm-hmm. You don't. If that's not your person, like, hey, boo, this will happen.
Right.
Well, I'm not about to share my joy with you because I don't want to hear your criticism.
Yeah.
We see it.
We see it.
We already see it.
Somebody said, you see the red flags that led to the end of your relationship in week one.
For sure.
In week one.
For sure. I agree. But we make excuses. Yeah. We got to stop making excuses.
We rationalize bad behavior because we want the outcome.
We want the outcome.
And we're not living in reality.
Absolutely.
We're living in fake, false worlds.
And just like with a man not going to play with a woman. A man will marry the woman that's for them. They could be in a relationship with somebody 20 years. And go be with somebody for 6 months and say, I do.
Yep, facts.
So stop doing it. And a lot of people say, oh, I like being his girlfriend. We don't need a title. Yes, you do.
Yep.
Because I'm not being with you 5 years, 10 years.
In a way.
I like what people say. It's like a contract.
It is.
But at the end of the day, if something happens to you today or tomorrow, I'm not going to be your special friend.
No.
And the obituary. And I'm the one that nursed you, bathed you, took care of you.
Mm-mm.
So, and I'm not about waiting. If I'm serious with you.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I might get it right the third. No.
I mean, we don't know. Hey, I'm with you.
But I'm not afraid. I'm all about taking a risk.
Yes.
Too.
When I choose, my mom has always said this, and it's funny. It's not really funny. It's actually really beautiful. My mom has always said in relationships, Sarah, do you, like, if once I've chosen this man, do you love this man? I'm like, yes. And I'll be like, I'm scared. Like, my mom is my sounding board, right. You know? I'm like, I'm scared. She's like, no, it's fine. She says, you know what? Maybe this is going to go all the way wrong. Maybe you're going to get your heart broken. Your feelings are going to be hurt. It's going to change you as a woman. And then you bounce back later and you're even better than before. There's that option. Or what if this is the most epic love story that was ever written? And if it's option B and option A, you get better anyway, why don't you go all in? So anytime I'm in a relationship and people are like, Sarah, you're so giving. I can't help it. It's just how I'm giving of all things. And that's in romantic or platonic relationships.
And I relate to you 110%.
I don't know how to
and
be.
Sometimes people be like, he, you doing too much. I gotta be myself.
I don't know how to be less. I really don't. I do not know how to be less. I don't. I just know how to be all
that
of
might
me.
Be a cancer thing because I'm over the. I'm extra.
Me too.
I'm extra.
Very much.
Like, I'm paying attention to what you like. Even friendships. I go all out for my friends. Mm-hmm. I love them. I love hard on people.
Yep.
If I love you, I love hard on you.
Period.
But high risk, high reward. Let's say I do. We think it's going to work. Let's do it.
Yes. Take a shot. You know, as long as you've done the necessary things to check and see if it's in alignment. Core values are in alignment.
Absolutely.
You know, I the mission is in alignment. The vision is in alignment and you feel it. Yes, that those things are all fun. Sheesh. Okay, Kiana, we have to switch gears. It's crazy. I feel like time has flown by. Goodness gracious. Wow. Oh, you've dropped so many bars. I'm only picking up my phone because this is where I get the topics from, right?
Uh-oh, okay.
So there's a really fun part of the show where it's giving versus it's giving.
Okay.
This is where I give you a scenario and I'm going to give you it's giving something positive or it's giving something negative based on the scenario. You have to tell me which you would choose and why.
All right. Okay.
Okay. So these ones are fun. already, I'm like, oh my God. Okay. Let's say you're in a whirlwind romance. It's been 30 days. You love this man.
Uh-huh.
You just know. All the feels are there. He's got the cars. He's got the house.
Mm-hmm.
but he doesn't, you start to realize he doesn't necessarily have the mindset of sustaining those things. So when you finally go to his house, he's got broke down furniture. He has bad credit. He's got a ton of debt. It's giving, why weren't you honest with me from the beginning? But we can write it out because I love you. Or it's giving, I don't trust this. This is giving everything that glitters ain't gold, and I got to go.
It's giving negative. It's giving run. It's giving imposter.
Imposter!
For sure. Mm-hmm. Because you could tell when you have all of this and just be like, I don't got it right though, baby. I could get it. I'm showing you I could get it, but I need your help maintaining it. Mm-hmm. So if the conversation was like that, then it could be given, I like you.
Yes.
Because I know you go get the good car. Yes. I know we could make it happen.
Yes. I know we can fix your credit.
It's given, you care about more what somebody think of you than what you think about yourself.
Mm. Oh, we just been dropping bars this whole episode.
And I didn't know. Listen, I'm not no rapper.
Sheesh, golly. I'm like, golly.
But yeah, it's given, you know, like, I'd rather look good to the world.
Yeah.
But be good. Broken inside.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
That's a big problem. It's a smoking gun. That's right. What that is. Right. It's screaming, help me, please. Don't do it. Okay. Okay. This is going to be a funny one. Okay. Or maybe it won't. It'll be terrible. So what, let's say you and your son are at the grocery store, mm-hmm. picking out stuff to eat. And you say, he's trailing far behind you. Mm-hmm. And you say, come on, Karan, get up here. You need to walk faster. And he says, shut up, mom. Did you see your face? I hope y'all just saw the face. I'm still asking though. It's giving, I will whoop this boy from front to back, damn near back to God. Or it's giving gentle parenting. Just keep gentle parenting. Just keep gentle parenting. Come here, Karan.
It's giving. He's going to get checked right then and there.
Yes.
For sure.
Period.
CPS.
Right. But for real. Don't play with me. That's like, literally, I feel like my mom has a look, right? I feel like there's moms, aunties, yeah, there are women that you, yeah, just got a look and the fear of God gets struck into you. I feel like that's the thing. Like, don't you ever in your life speak to me that way. I am your mother, not your friend. I can be your friend.
Yeah. I think I put the fear of God in that little boy.
Good. Because he knows.
I'd be like, what's going to happen to you? And I never laid a finger on him. Never.
You don't have to.
Never popped him. I'd be like, what's going to happen? You get smart. He'd be like, you're going to break every teeth in my mouth.
He's like, I already know.
No. Because my friends and family, they think I gentle parent anyway.
Yeah.
But I put the fear of God on my son.
Yeah.
Like, don't play with me.
Don't play with me.
You know what will happen.
Period. Because we could go there.
Let's go.
You want to go? I'm ready. Where are we going?
I'm ready.
I love that. Okay, one more.
But I do feel like some of this gentle parenting is messing up.
Discipline?
Yeah.
Look, I was whooped as a kid. Sorry, mom. Sorry, dad. I was whooped up and down. This is all bad.
But our morals are so good. We understand.
Look at our character.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say I believe in whooping children, but I know that I was whooped. All of us were whooped. Mm-hmm. And we ended up, you know.
We was okay.
We all right.
It still stinks.
We
a
good
bit
citizens.
About it.
Oh, girl. Don't get me started. My mom had a way. Sorry, mom. I don't know if I should even say this. It is what it is. My dad was like the major disciplinarian, like belts, all the things, really. My dad, that was my dad. My mom did this thing with a spoon, a wooden spoon at that.
Okay.
And she'd make you lift your, I'm probably saying too much, but it is what it is. She'd make you lift your shirt off of your sleeve, like the sleeve up off of, up your arm so that your sleeve goes up to up to your elbow. And then she would say, how many of these do you think you should get? And she'd take the spoon and she'd like smack your arm with the spoon. But her accuracy and precision of hitting the same exact spot, it doesn't seem like it would hurt. It sounds like it's just like this, oh, whatever, that ain't nothing. Nah, it felt like knives were cutting through the forearm, my forearm. Mind you, it'd be like 20 smacks, 25 smacks. I really think it hurt her more to do it than it hurt us. But that's what my mom did. My dad was like, you didn't want to get disciplined by my dad. That was way worse.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. We got, he really did like the whooping. My mom did the smacking, which wasn't that bad. Now that I think about it, I'm like, oh, that was cute.
It was cute.
That was cute. But I was scared of it when I was young.
Yeah. I was scared now. I'm thinking about, like, you got me over here thinking about some past whooping.
Yeah, I was scared for real.
And I feel like that's why I haven't whooped my child.
Man.
Because I could tell you a whooping.
Girl. My dad used to be like, go get the belt. How you going to ask me to go get the belt for you to whoop me? And I did.
It's crazy.
I went to get the belt. And my little brother Ahmad, shout out to you.
Did he cry on the way back with the belt?
What? Yes. Ugly cry too. My little brother Ahmad, he was like the favorite because he's the baby, right? I was the baby till he came around. Thanks for ruining my life, but also I love you. He would come, when anyone would get in trouble, my dad would be upset. My dad's very loud. He'd be upset. He'd be like, man. And when he gets loud, my little brother would come and be like, you want me to get the belt, dad? You want me to get the belt? You need me to get the belt, dad? Like, you sell out? What is happening right now? Yeah.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Us as siblings, we got every story.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell you every story.
There was a lot of us. So ooh, I can only imagine.
Ooh, every story. Mm-mm. You got one though?
Yeah.
I'm the baby girl.
Okay.
But I'm not the youngest.
Okay, so yeah. Same though. I'm the baby girl, and I have a little brother underneath me.
Ruined everything.
Yeah, but I used to whoop him. No,
you did?
Because he used to make
mean
me.
To my
he was spoiled. He's still spoiled.
Spoiled. Ahmad.
Trayvon.
We calling folks out today, okay?
He's still spoiled to this day.
Ooh-wee. I cannot take it. Okay, this is a fun one.
Okay.
Final one.
All right.
And then one more question.
All right.
Okay, so let's say that you are dating a man.
Okay.
You're not in a relationship, but you're dating.
Mm-hmm.
And he forgets to bring over his toothbrush and he stays the night.
Mm.
The next morning after he leaves, he informs you, you've now gotten ready, your day is ready. He informs you, oh, baby, I forgot my toothbrush, so I used yours this morning, just so you know. It's the faces for me.
They it's always giving. Say I don't have a poker face. So I'll never be in front of the camera because I know my facial expression.
Already, you are ready. Okay, it's giving, oh, baby, you really love me for real. That's sweet. It's okay. Or it's giving, that is the nastiest thing I have ever experienced in my life. Don't ever use my toothbrush.
Yeah. It's giving, don't ever.
Don't ever.
And it's giving, I'm telling you. It's giving. I don't know how you was raised. You get your mama on the phone, Carl, three-way.
Were you raised by wolves?
Right. I need you to get her on the phone.
I have so many questions. Like, you didn't want to just put toothpaste on your finger and like you know, kind of like scrubby-dubby?
Oh, if I'm already gone to work, I don't got to smell your breath. Just get the hell out of my house.
My question is, like, because men will be, or a lot of people will be like, but we kiss. It's not the same.
It's not.
It's like bacteria.
Don't do that.
It's that's gross.
Just, it's giving. That's the red flag in the first week. Because no. Uh-uh.
It's no. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I'm with you on that. Okay, final question.
Final question.
We here at It's Giving are avid readers. We believe in evolution. We believe in growth. We believe in becoming our best selves. And by doing that, one of the ways that we talk about is through reading or listening to books.
Okay.
What book has changed your life and why?
Ooh. The Power of Self-Discipline.
Ooh, I do not know that book.
Yes. It's on Amazon. It makes you check yourself.
Oh.
Okay.
Yes.
It talks about your morning routine.
Oh, I'm about to download this now.
How important it is to have these things set up. It makes you accountable over yourself. And I don't care how many times I read it, I learn something new.
Mm.
And if I feel myself losing motivation and momentum, mm-hmm. I always go back to that book.
Mm.
For sure.
The Power of Self-Discipline. Yes. Who's it by?
You know what?
I'll find it. Yes, it don't matter.
It. I'm gonna find Amazon because I got the book off Instagram and I like I can't download a book, so I ordered it, had the the paperback. I think it's in my suitcase now.
Yes. I'm literally, look, and I'm going to give you a shout out to him and be like, Kiana, we're going to put the links below. Y'all already know. I just want to say thank you so much for coming
thank
on today.
Thank you for having me.
You killed it. Like, literally just so comfortable, dropped so many
Would
bars.
You believe I tell you I'm shy, girl? And you made me so comfortable.
Oh,
so I shout you out and I celebrate you.
Thank you. You killed it.
Horrible.
You killed it.
And this again was something like the fear of the unknown. And I was fearful.
And now you know.
Yeah.
You don't need to ever be fearful again.
And thank you for being you, because it's true energy.
Thank you.
It's true energy. And
thank
you have a wonderful spirit.
Thank
and you. Keep
you.
That up.
Girl, don't make me cry. Yeah, I'm a crier,
no,
okay?
Really, me too. Me too. I will. I cannot leave without telling you that.
Thank you.
Because you, just the energy. I have a good sense of discernment and your energy is unmatched.
Thank you.
And as a woman, we need that contagious spirit
yes.
around other women.
Yes.
And when I came in here, you greeted me with a hug. I'm like, do I need to take my shoes off?
No. Nope. You're
you
good.
Need tissue. I'm like, I might cry.
We stay ready.
And you were. No, you welcome me. And it's true comfort. And I thank you.
Thank
I really
you.
Do.
Thank
and
you.
And I celebrate you as well, for
thank
sure.
Thank you, Kiana. Thank you. Oh, okay, don't make me cry. Okay, guys, today has been an amazing episode. We talked about relationships. We talked about motherhood. We talked about pushing through. We talked about resilience. We talked about being empowered. We talked about self-confidence, self-love, so many good gems. We talked about priorities, okay? Dating for priorities, okay? Not preferences. We talked about so many good things today. So if you have not yet, please make sure to hit that button below. Get subscribed so you don't miss an episode. And if no one has told you today, you are freaking phenomenal. Bomb.com. Nothing can stop you but you, but you got to do something about it. Let's get it, y'all.
Let's get it.
Bye.
See ya.